The dumbest thing of the day.
This is dumb.
Hello, Scott Reed.
Well, hello, my friend Jay. And listen, gentlemen, I got to start by asking you a question. And it's this. On a hot summer's night, would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses? Boys, these spoken lyrics from Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth by Meatloaf set my 12-year-old mind ablaze in the late 1970s when he and the great Jim Steinem released the epic LP Bat Outta Hell. Half rock, half opera, this masterpiece not only broke new musical ground, but if you went to a school dance in the 1970s and the 1980s, you knew that Paradise by the Dashboard Light was the musical hook you used to get her onto the gym floor, and two out of three bad was what you used to reel her in. Lily LeJune, and if you and your Jordache jeans are out there somewhere, just say this, I will never forget. Sadly, we woke to the news today that Meatloaf passed away last night at age 74. And about that, I want to note that there are two very dumb things to observe. First, we hear from a variety of news sources led by TMZ that Meat actually died from COVID and that he was a committed anti-vaxxer and anti-masker. I don't know if that's true. And maybe another dumb thing is maybe these people shouldn't freaking report this until they have it 1,000% supported and sourced.
Here.
But if it's true, it's so tragic and dumb to ignore science, to ignore the great gift that are these vaccines, to blow off public health guidance, to pay the price with your life. It just compounds the sadness that I feel to hear this news. But second, and far dumber, are those online legion of trolls and miscreants who greet this news with delight, who somehow find Meatloaf's death, if indeed it came from a rejection of COVID truth, as a fitting and just twist of fate. These people who revel and celebrate in the outcome. And we've seen it before during this past 18 months. Folks, you know, right-wing pastors, media personalities, these guys that reject COVID only to die at its hands. And then you have people spiking the football on their graves like they had it coming. I'm a straight edge on this stuff. I've lost friends over the vax, anti-vax fight. But I'm telling you right now, there's a special place in hell, and there is no kick-ass colorful motorcycle to blast you out of it for those who cheer the death of others. And that's even those who died from COVID after ignoring the reality of COVID. Meatloaf and Bat Outta Hell carved a big path through my youth. My memories are sitting on my bedroom floor, just across the bridge in Prince Edward County, perched between two grain elevator-sized speakers. Those times were sweet. Those songs, they let me time travel. I am back there in 1977. So I don't care how he went. I just know that he was a giant. I'll miss and mourn Meatloaf. And in my books, anyone who thinks different is just plain dumb.
We got the email blast or social media blast, all of us at the same time from TMZ, right? Saying that speculation was that it was a COVID related death and the anti-vaxxer stuff. And, you know, we had two full segments that talked about Meatloaf today, Scott. And we had that story and just chose not to do it because that didn't feel like something we wanted to do. Certainly didn't want to come around, didn't want to get into a conversation around his vaccine reluctance or his status on vaccines. It was really, that's coming, that type of examination of his life. I didn't think either. I'm with you. Today was not the day to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
and I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, you didn't. You didn't at all. You didn't at all. I think that was very classy what you just said. I think you totally nailed it.
Well, no, but I did sort of myself kind of wring my hands over, like, am I giving lift to this thing by even acknowledging it? But it's so everywhere on social media. I just wanted to make a nod to it because I don't know if it's true. So first of all, news organizations have a responsibility, and I really like the judgment you guys made, which is that if you haven't independently sourced it, don't blast it out there and don't report on the garbage, you know? But, you know, the judgment I came to is that there's also this broader issue of, like, and there's all these right-wing, radio hosts and all these stuff, like a bunch of them who have, like, you know, preached against COVID and then died from COVID. And I'm like, and then people think that's great. People think that's like serves you right. It doesn't serve you right. It's a tragedy, man. I don't know, but I know, Jim, I saw some of your tweets and stuff like Meatloaf was Meatloaf was a big freaking moment in my childhood, man. That album was a monster, just a monster. The Roll Arena, the school dances, man. Like, it was everywhere, blasted on the Camaros that people had parked on the side of the road in 1978, looking
cool
with
the world, roller rink in Edmonton, Alberta. When you were talking about, you know, where you were as a 12-year-old kid, that's what it was for me. Roller skating, my parents would drop me off for the Saturday, be there with my friends hanging out, and Paradise by the Dashboard Light was playing, and you just it was epic even then.
It's epic. It's an epic album. It's one of those things that it didn't sound like anything else. It's not the kind of, you know, Pete Townshend Who rock opera, but it's also not like hair rock that followed it. It's better than hair rock. You know, Gene Steinman was a freaking genius, and Meatloaf was the guy to bring it to life. And I don't know. Like, I've had this fight with a bunch of my friends who are like, you know, it's kind of garbage rock. I'm like, it is not garbage rock, man.
No.
It dominated radio for 3 years.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
3 years. It was a current happening thing.
It was, for people who don't remember, I mean, I'm trying to think of an epic album where, you know, Jagged Little Pill almost, although I'm not trying to compare them. I'm trying to tell people, like, how every track was on the radio and how it was, you know, the soundtrack of a generation, kind of like, I don't know, whether Appetite for Destruction or whatever album just took over the radio for a good long while. That was Meatloaf's Paradise by the, sorry, Bat Out of Hell.
40 million. 40 million. It's impossible.
It's impossible
to do.
And he thinks that it sold 54 million because he had an argument going on with Sony, and it sounded like almost that they would still be fighting Sony.
No, I don't have any mixed feelings at all. The only mixed feeling I have is I would like for them to pay me. I'd like for them to pay me and Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I figured up the other day how much money they owe us. I won't tell you over the air, but they will. We're going to get them. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing. I have no mixed feelings over that. That's absolutely a brilliant piece of work from both myself and Jim Steinman. And
so that's when Richard Krauss asked him, I guess some people might have things that are so popular that they might have mixed feelings looking back at them, but he loved that album. But, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, Scott, where I have tweeted out, like the right-wing radio hosts who have died of COVID, I've just tweeted out with the caption, get vaccinated. You're right. There's no reason for a victory lap on somebody's death, even if you disagree with them, but get vaccinated. But I would only say about him, if it's true, it looks like he did die of COVID. I don't know whether or not he was an anti-vaxxer, but the only thing I would say about that is that his health, in that interview that he did with Richard Krauss, he didn't look like the most healthy of dudes.
He had had a heart attack as well, which is why it had affected his speech.
Yeah, he had asthma. He had some health problems. So I do think that he had all sorts of underlying issues that COVID isn't kind about.
Well, and all the more reason, if it's true, all the more reason you have to say, well, for Pete's sake, if you're high risk, you're heavy set, you've had health issues, then obviously you know that you just can't afford to get it. But, you know, I want to go back to the, you know, forget this for 1 second. I want to go back to the dominant issue for 1 minute, the dominant issue of that album and 44 million, 54 million, all that stuff. Here's one thing I want to say to people listening on radio now that they forget, that we remember because we're in our 50s. At least me and Jim are, I think, Jay. And it's this, like, people forget that it was possible. Like, we live in an age where Drake is bigger and, you know, there are more streams of him than anything else on the planet and all that sort of stuff. But there's nothing as big as what big was in sort of like the mid-1970s when you had mass media and it was mature. It had been around for 20 years. But you were still at a time when, like, an album like Bat Out of Hell literally wasn't off air for 3 years. So like, it took over pop culture. You can't get that now, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's rumors, Fleetwood Mac's rumors,
the comparators, like, it just took over and its sales went forever. But even like, just it's, you turned on AM radio and you heard Meatloaf from 1977 to about 1981. It was just there, and it just parked itself there. It's like having a movie stay open in theaters for 3 years now. It doesn't happen, but it used to happen, right? Just a different culture, a different thing, and that's why we remember this with such significance. It was a monster.
Scott, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too,
great
pal.
One.
You know what you'll be listening to.
The Dumb of the Day.